As we may well have our first reading, please share it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Look for the words praise and glory.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Shirley. The words of the Westminster Confession say this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Which Barbara will read. This is the passage we're going to be thinking about in just a moment. Jesus' prayer. John 17, verses 1 to 11, page 1085.
Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. You have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus now prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them, by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you very much. The significance of that we'll come to in a moment, but let's just pray. Lord, direct our thinking and the way that we live as a result. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory days. Back in 1961, the fans of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, the Spurs, would sing to that refrain we've just heard, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, and the Spurs go marching on." And they won the double that year, as some of you may recall. Glory. What does glory mean? Well, it means magnificence, splendor, awe-inspiring, honor, renown as a result of great achievement, worthy of praise, all those different ideas. But with football teams, as we can see from what happens to Tottenham Hotspur this season, glory is transient. And what we're thinking about today is eternal glory, the glory of God. And how that's shown in Jesus and what its effect is. I wonder if you counted the number of times that word glory or glorify appeared in the passage we just read. If you've got it open, it would be good to keep it open. If you haven't got it open, it would be good to pick it up. John chapter 17, page 1085. It's an appropriate day to be thinking about it, about the glory of Jesus, because Thursday was Ascension Day. Not much observed these days, but Ascension Day when we remember that Jesus returned to glory with his Father. And we're looking today at a prayer of Jesus. God, fully human, praying to his Father before he resumes his position with his Father, no longer limited by human flesh. And there they will reflect the glory of each other. And it's often referred to as a prayer of consecration. Because what Jesus is doing is consecrating himself to what he's about to go through. The completion of the Father's work for him on earth. And that's why he says, the time has come. Now is the hour. In fact, he's so committed to do this work that he describes it as already finished in verse 4. And so he prays, first for himself, and then for his followers. Now, when he says, the time has come, what is it that he's praying? What is it the time for? What is the work that he is completing? And what does he mean when he says, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you? It sounds very abstract, doesn't it? But to glorify someone is to give them glory, to grant or recognize their splendor, to honour them or to acknowledge their achievement. So what's Jesus actually praying for? Well, he's praying that his Father would recognise what he, Jesus, is about to achieve. To give him, Jesus, renown that will redound to the praise of the Father himself. He prays that he may bring glory to the Father, for him to be held in awe and honoured by the honour which he, Jesus, is about to achieve. How and why? Well, look at verses 2 and 3, which are the key to this. What does Jesus say there? For you, that is the Father, granted him, that is Jesus, authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you, that is the Father, have given him, Jesus. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the work that Jesus is sent to do is to give eternal life. And that work brings Jesus glory, giving people eternal life, which he is about to achieve when he goes to the cross and dies, goes to the grave and rises again. Now we sometimes talk about reflected glory when we meet someone great or important. And the great glory of Jesus, which redounds to the glory of God, is seen in what Jesus does in giving eternal life to those who the Father has given to him. And they consist of those who know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And Jesus says expressly that he has authority over all people, over all the world. But he gives eternal life only to those who know the Father and the Son. So there's a clear distinction between the world and those who do know the Father and the Son. What defines those people? The people who know the Father and the Son? Well, wait, because we'll see just in a moment, because he prays for them in verse 6 onwards. But this stage, at the beginning, he's praying for himself, but more than that, he's praying for the glory of God the Father through him. And what Jesus says in verse 4, just look at it, is that he has already brought honour and glory to the Father by completing the work he was given to do. He regards what he's about to do as being essentially complete because he's committed to doing it. He's about to finish that work by going to the cross and through the grave. And so he asks that as a result of that, doing this work that God has set him, he might give him the honour which he had before the world began and before the necessity arose for him to come as a man and die as if he was the worst of all evildoers. And he asks that after he's done what he came to do, he may be restored to the honour of being back with his Father. Glorified in your presence with the glory I had before the world began, he says in verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence for the glory I had with you before the world began. So what have we seen thus far? The glory of the Father and the Son, the work of the Father and the Son, and the knowledge of the Father and the Son. And then Jesus tells us who it is who know the Father and the Son, and he describes them in verse 6 onwards in 6 different ways. And there they are up on the screen, and you can follow them in the verses. They are first, there are those to whom Jesus revealed God the Father. They are those who obeyed God's word. They are those who knew all that Jesus was and did was what God was doing, is and did. There are those who accepted Jesus' words as God's words. There are those who knew that Jesus came from God and was sent by him on a mission. And those whom the Father gave to the Son out of the world, who thus belong to him. Let me read you the verses as you pick them up, as summarized on the screen. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." Then he prays for them, we'll come back to that. And I think that's all we need for the moment. So, they are the people who know the Father and the Son. They are the people who have eternal life. They are the people who belong to Jesus. And you are shown to be his by your obedience to the word of God, your acceptance of Jesus as revealing God, and of his words as the authoritative words of God, and knowing Jesus as God, and loving him and following him accordingly. And if this is you, then you belong to God the Father, and you're given to God the Son. That's why they're described in verse 6 as his. They were yours, and you gave them to me, says Jesus. So Christians are those who belong to Jesus. If this is you, then you are given by God the Father to Jesus to belong to him. If you read this in the Authorized Version, he says, "They are thine, for thou gavest them to me out of the world." They are thine. Which reminds me of a story. A Yorkshireman's beloved wife passed away. And he goes to the headstone maker to sort out the stone for the grave. And being a devout man, he asks for an inscription on the stone, which is to read, "She was thine." The stone mason says, "Fine," and asks him to return a week later, which he duly does. The stonemason wheels out the stone on a trolley. It looks absolutely great, except written on it are the words, "She was thin." The man looks at it and says, "It's missing an E." And the mason looks at this, apologizes profusely, and says, "Come back in a week, I'll have it sorted out." He duly comes back a week later. And then the stonemason wheels out the stone once again, and it reads, "Ee, she was thin." Sorry about that. These are the people for whom Jesus prays, those who are his. Not the world, but those who belong to him. While saying in verse 10, as you look at it, that everything that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and everything that belongs to the Son belongs to the Father. And here comes a quite extraordinary idea. Not just that these people are given by the Father to the Son, but in the second half of verse 10, he says, "Glory has come to me," that's Jesus, "through them." So he's talking about the disciples who are about to desert Jesus on his arrest, run away and hide. And they are to be the bringers of glory to Jesus. And you too, if you belong to him. But how can that be? Well, it's by the response to him, isn't it? The disciples aren't perfect, but they are those who know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent in the sense that has already been described. The recognition of who Jesus is, the acceptance of him as God, and obedience to him, that brings glory to Jesus, and thus to God, because that is what Jesus set about to achieve through the cross and the grave. The Father's glory is shown in the glorification of Jesus, in giving eternal life to those given by the Father to the Son. Jesus' renown, Jesus' glory is seen in Jesus' work, which the Father gave him to do, to give eternal life, to give spiritual life to those who respond to him rightly. And so you and I bring glory to God when we respond to Jesus as Lord. Jesus knows, however, that though this is so, his followers are frail. And on their own, they are likely to fail, particularly once he's left them. So in verse 11, we see him praying for them. And he prays that since he will no longer be in the world physically to be with them, on ascending to his Father will keep them safe. Do you see that in verse 11 itself? I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. He prays the Father that they will be kept safe, kept by the power of his name, the name that he's given to Jesus, so that they may be one as we are one. In other words, he's praying that his followers should share the same unity that he, Jesus, has with his Father. They should relate to God the Father in the same way as he does. And he says that they are to be kept by the power of his name, his character. We used to sing it as kids, a very short chorus. Kept by the power of God, kept by the power of God, day by day, come what may, kept by the power of God. Just look on with me for a moment to verse 20 and 21, and you'll see that Jesus' prayer is not just for his immediate disciples, but it's for you and me, if we are his disciples today. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. Jesus prayed for you. But we get a lot in this prayer which tells us not just that he's doing that, but a lot about who Jesus really is, Jesus as God and as man before his ascension. What have we picked up from the very prayer that we've been reading? Well, first we see that Jesus, the Son, is sent by God the Father with a mission. We see that Jesus reveals God. All that he is and does comes from God. We see that Jesus' words are God's words. We see that Jesus gains glory by his death, which redounds to the glory of God the Father. We see that those who accept Jesus as Lord and God and obey him belong to him. They relate to him, relate to God, they're united to him just in the same way as Jesus is united to him. And you do all that. Why? Because God the Father has given you to Jesus to belong to him. And that response that you make itself honours and glorifies Jesus and thus the Father. Great truth to take on board, which should affect how we see ourselves in our relationship to the Trinitarian God. But you and I know, we know all too well that we're in this world still. And there's so much wrong round about us, and there's so much wrong with us, that we need God's protection from evil and from all that will drag us away from that close relationship with him that we know that Jesus had as a man on earth. Knowing him, trusting him, obeying him, living our lives for him. And Jesus prays here that you would be protected from evil and kept, come what may, kept by the power of God. And we find that Jesus consecrates himself to carry out God's work. He does so on a daily basis. Time and again we read of Jesus getting up early in the morning to pray in order to be ready for that day's work that he has to do. He consecrated himself to carry out God's work daily, but particularly as he approached the death for which he was sent. And the message to us is very clear, isn't it? That we need to consecrate ourselves daily for whatever it is that God has for us to do in any given day. And we need to pray about that. If Jesus needed to pray, then sure, we need to pray. And Jesus prayed for himself that he would bring glory to his Father in so doing. And he prayed that his disciples would respond in such a way as to bring glory to himself and thus to his Father. If Jesus needed to pray that for himself, all the more do we need to pray that for ourselves and indeed for each other, each member of this fellowship, that everything we do will honour God, that will bring glory to God. So that, as Jesus says in verse 21, the world may believe. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as you and I are one, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you've sent me. And remember this. Jesus prayed for you that you might be protected, that you might be kept safe, that you might be held fast by the power of his name. And you are indeed kept by the power of God.